Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it is the day three for the Texas Association of Magicians annual convention here in Fort Worth, Texas, and the interviews that we have today are pretty interesting. The first one starting off with Dana Daniels. He had just finished his first ever lecture for the magic community. He has lectured apparently in the past at the Magic Castle, but not for a magic convention. So he gave a wonderful lecture talking about finding the funny, basically, how to be funny and how he found his funny and kind of a little bit about his background. So we had a great lecture, and then afterwards we had a chance to sit down and chat for a while, and he told some pretty interesting and funny stories about some of the things that he was involved with Luigi, his parent. And then following that, we talked with David Rangel. Now, David Rangel was one of the contestants in the close-up contest for the TAOM this year, and it so happened that after our interview, we had the contest awards that were presented, and he won first prize for the senior stage close-up. And so this is kind of interesting juxtaposition in which we get to talk with him, in which he doesn't know what the outcome is going to be, and talks a little bit about his previous competitions where he has come and competed in the contest for the TAOM, and so his preparation for that. And then later we talk with Bob Emery, who is the contest and awards chairman for the Texas Association of Magicians, and he talks a little bit about the importance of competing in general, whether it's senior adult or whether that you're a junior first time or whether that you've competed for many times. And so it's interesting to get his perspective. Finally, as we close the day, we talk with president, or should I say past president, Bill Irwin, who has been heading up this convention. He has since turned over his Medal of Honor to the next incoming president, Trixie Bond, who we'll talk with perhaps then for tomorrow as a podcast. And Bill talks about how the convention has gone from his perspective. So please enjoy this podcast of The Magic Word from Fort Worth, Texas. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it is day three of the TAOM convention here in Fort Worth. We just heard Dana Daniels' lecture, and we were also joined then by Jared Hall, and I'm sorry, it was Megan, yes, as well. And it you had asked an interesting question just about the bird stories or something. What was it?
How many Luigis have you had?
Oh, well, this is the second Luigi. Second. I got a third one at home, and this one's 18 years old. And the one at home is only 6 months. He hasn't done the act yet.
He's in training, I guess.
He's in training, okay. Yeah. And then the first, and at the end, he literally is in training. I am teaching him. I know it looks like he doesn't do anything up there, but there are some certain things he has to get used to, you know. And
it was interesting, the first one you said during a lecture that he actually was chewing the card, and the second one doesn't.
Right. Yeah. This one does a little bit, but he's not consistent enough with it, okay. So I don't do it with him. And then this other one seems to kind of lean towards maybe doing that, so I might bring that routine back. I haven't done that routine in years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just training him to...
Jared, you'd ask also about a bird story or something, what'd you say?
It was traveling, I think.
Traveling.
How difficult is it to travel with Luigi?
Well, it's not difficult, just because I make it not difficult.
Except on cruise ships, perhaps, have to be...
Well, I can't travel with them on a cruise ship, so I can't bring them with on a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. That is...
Quarantine and all that.
And then when I go to Europe, or I just do the act with a dove. Or when I work in Maui, I work in Maui 15 weeks out of the year.
Luigi the psychic dove?
It's Dwayne the psychic dove. I'm not going to name a dove Luigi. That would be ridiculous. I have a dove over there that I use, and I just...
An Annabelle?
Warren Annabelle.
Yeah, okay, that's right. Yeah, you and John, that's right, sure.
So, actually, it's... Jody Barron has a show over there, too.
Yeah.
And Jody has a lot of... He does a dove act, and he's very... He's just been a great guy. And,
yeah.
And he loans me a dove every time I get over there, you know. And so I have a different Dwayne every time. I'm going there tomorrow, in fact, for 2 weeks. So, but when I travel with the parrot, he goes on board the plane with me, goes underneath the seat, and the cage is kind of like, you know, in this bag. So it kind of looks like a carry-on.
Yeah.
And Usually airlines have no idea he's there.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even
bother.
Through
the scanner? Just kind of pass through the
scanner?
No.
When I go through TSA, I take him out of there. I tell TSA I got a pet with me, and yeah. They don't care. Yeah.
And it's not like a pet pig or something.
Right. So, yeah. Well, I don't even know. They probably let that go. They're looking for explosives. You know, so when the day when someone takes over a plane with a parrot,
yeah.
Then I'm in a lot of trouble. Yeah. So, exploding parrot.
Well, that was a story. You know, my brother is a pilot, actually, and he was saying that he was asked if he could allow a pig onto the plane.
Yeah.
And without all the jokes you can imagine that go with that, and asking if you can have a pig on the plane, that he said fine. But unfortunately, the pig, it was his first flight, got airsick, and apparently that the plane smelled pretty bad.
Oh.
As the pig got loose and ran up and down the aisle and kind of was squirting
well,
around.
That would
so
be
he said
bad.
That's the last time he's ever let a pig on the plane.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You don't have that problem with the parrot.
No. He's quiet. He sits there. They never know. But.
Pigs flew.
Yeah, who knew pigs flew? Exactly, Jared. That's good. Yes,
that's the day. But I have, you know, like one of the stories I had when, this is back before 9/11 ever happened, but when airport security was run by the airport, or the...
local?
Yeah, just, you know, the airport security guards.
Security guards,
yeah,
right, yeah.
And they pretty much knew the rules of what airlines allowed animals on board and which ones didn't. And I was flying, I don't want to tell you the airline, but it rhymes with Delta. I was flying out of Columbus, Ohio, and I had to get home, and they didn't, back then, they did not allow animals on board. And I didn't want to check him in, so I thought, well, I'm going to sneak him on board. And I was wearing a trench coat, and it had big pockets. I thought, well, I'll just put Luigi in my pocket, and then I can walk through security with him in my pocket.
Yeah.
So I put him in my pocket even before I got to security. When I was checking in, I took him out of the cage, and I put him in my pocket, and then the cage is in the cover. It looks like a carry-on bag. And I'm just checking in my suitcase, and the guy behind the counter, I wait in that line, you know, do the maze, get up to the counter, and he says, "You checking in one bag?" And I said, "Yeah." And then he looks at me and he says, "You want to check in the parrot?" And I'm like, "How does he know I have a parrot? You know, how could he see my show? Did he recognize me?"
Yeah.
So I play stupid and I go, "What parrot?" And he looks at me and he says, "The one on your shoulder?"
It crawled out.
While
of your
I was waiting in line,
yeah.
Luigi crawled out of my pocket, up my back, and was sitting on my shoulder. And I'm staring at this guy with a parrot on my shoulder, saying, "What parrot?" Looking like an idiot.
Yeah.
And
he looked like a pirate.
And then I look over and I see him sitting there, and I'm like, "Oh god!" And I said, "Well, no, he's here to see me off."
And you definitely were off.
Yeah, and he laughed, and he just gave my ticket and said, "Well, have a nice flight, Mr. Daniels. Good luck going through security." You know, so, but I got him through security. I just...
well, I'd heard those stories like by Johnny Thompson several times. He used to carry his doves.
He would wear them, yeah.
Yeah, wear them, yeah.
Yeah, Brett Daniels did the same thing. You know, he said he went through LAX one time in a tuxedo Tells, you know, because that's the only suit he had that had the pockets.
Sure.
To carry. He'd walk him through with the... Back then, you didn't have to take off your coat and all
yeah.
that stuff. So he would walk through with his birds and go in the bathroom and put them back.
Load them up.
Yeah, and I would, you know, I finished my act with the bird vanishing and then hanging on my back,
right.
my rear end. Mm-hmm. And that's how I used to get them through back then. I would hang them on my rear end, and I would just wear a coat or untuck my shirt, and it would cover them up, and I would just send the cage through the x-ray, and I just kind of walk really carefully through, not taking big steps because I don't want him to fall off me. But I looked like I had to go to the bathroom. I was walking through like this, and my legs kind of pinched. And
now, so he's hanging on by his beak, or is he hanging on?
He hangs on with his claws and his beak.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you train that?
Just from doing it over and over again.
Yeah,
and he doesn't want to fall.
Yeah.
So
right.
And,
here's your choice.
And yeah. So he just kind of grab on there. Actually, I just had him. I took him in and had him groomed, and I never usually have his nails done because I want his nails to be nice and sharp so I can grab on.
Right.
And they went and did his nails anyways, and I was like, "No!" And that's why last night I had a little trouble hooking him up because
yeah.
he was kind of going.
You were walking a little bit more ginger,
and I was walking very slowly because I could tell he didn't have a good hold.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why. So I got to wait for those to grow back a little bit before I can get in the full swing of that again.
Yeah. Well, that was a good lecture, and you said this was the first lecture, actually, that you had...
Well, first one at a Magic Convention.
Yeah,
I did this lecture last year at Magic Castle, and it was the same thing. They always ask me when I work a week there, they go, "Oh, can you lecture?" You know, and all the years I've been there, and then I said, "I don't do lectures, I don't do that." And then finally I just said, "You know, I should do one," and I said, okay. And they scheduled it, and then that forced me to put one together.
And I kind of like that idea of a deadline.
That's the only way to get me to do something. It's like, otherwise, I'm not going to get around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to just say, okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like I said, like
now
I did.
You have to do it.
Yeah, then I got to put together. It motivates me, you know.
I had someone who just asked me about emceeing a show, but we'd like to see something, and I've got some bunch of clips, but I really haven't edited them together onto one thing, and so now I have a deadline. Just got this like 2 days ago. I got a phone call, so it's like, yep, I got a deadline now. So I think that's important.
Yeah, it is.
Well, what would you say was one of the most important tips that you gave? I mean, it'd be important, Jared, perhaps to you or to me. There may be other things that we may have gotten from that, but what did you feel like that you really wanted to have as your central message that you wanted to get across today?
Well, I guess, you know, if you're there trying to write comedy for your act, you know, the association list, which I talked about to start from, that's been the most effective tool for me, you know, to get me my juices flowing in my head of what to write some jokes in there. And so,
just free form, just writing them down.
Yeah, I just, you know, if it's got to do like my demonstration was my cell phone routine I do with the invisible deck. I just write down all the ideas, anything that has to do with the cell phone, because that's what it's all centered around, and then pick from that. It helps me. I can look at it visually, because I'm more of a visual person. And I can go, okay, and we use this, and then I go, I can twist it around and use it this way. And so that's really worked. And that works for anyway. You know, any routine you're working on, if you're doing something with, routine on, using...
A plunger.
Bathroom appliances. You know, write down everything that has to do with the bathroom. You know, if you did a bathroom, I actually knew someone who did a bathroom act one time.
Wasn't Carrie Pollack, was it?
Yeah. Well, Carrie used to do one of those too, didn't he?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, this one goes even further back than Carrie.
Yeah, because you had the toilet lid over a volunteer's head.
That's right.
Remember?
I totally forgot about that.
We used to do that at the island when we worked together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
years
right.
Ago.
Ah. So, yeah, it's the same thing. You know, it helps you, you know, to kind of help round it out and develop it.
Yep. Yeah. Did you have another question, Jared?
You're going to. Good.
and good notes. You didn't have any lecture notes that might be interested.
I'm not in the lecture business, so I just didn't, you know, I thought, well, am I going to make notes just for one lecture?
And I
don't know. Yeah. And maybe I'll do it again. It was fun.
I think I may have asked you a couple of years ago when you won the Senator Crandall Award. At Colon at the Abbott's get-together, what your magic word is. Since the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, you may have a different word now, or you may not remember what it was, but what is important? What is something that you live by? What do you wake up for?
I said this, I don't remember what I said last time, but my magic word is sensational.
Sensational.
Yeah, when people ask me, how are you, rather than saying, fine, I do something a little differently. I say, sensational, but I'll get better. And I learned that from back in my Disneyland days. There was a guy, when I did the Golden Horseshoe Review, which was like an old variety show, there was the MC of the show was a guy named Fulton Burley. Mm-hmm. And Fulton had long history in show business. And I remember one day, I did the show with him, but this was a day when I was out in the park doing the Riverboat Gambler. And Fulton was walking by, and one of the street sweepers said, hey, Fulton, how are you? And Fulton just said, sensational. That was it. And that brought a smile to that guy's face. And I said, I'm going to do that for now on. I like that.
Yeah.
And then I added, but I'll get better. You know, I always like to have a little tag.
Sure.
And I do it anyway. And it's funny, because you're at the supermarket, you know, and checking out, and people ask you, how you doing? You go, sensational. They always stop and smile, and they go, because they usually don't hear that.
Right.
So they go, what's better than that, you know? And
emphasis also.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, yeah. I don't sell it as much as Fulton did.
Sensational.
I go, I got to make it sound like you are sensational.
Yeah.
But it just... I like doing that, and it just kind of brightens
everyone's day.
People's day.
Yeah, it does. Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. There's Dana Daniels for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it is still day three here in Fort Worth, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk with a competitor in the close-up contest, Mr. David Rangel. Hey there, David.
Hi, how are you?
And you're at DavidRangel.com. What is your website?
TheDavidRangel.com.
The David Rangel, because the other one was taken, I guess.
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
taken.
The David Rangel, that's R-A-N-G-E-L.com. He's a professional magician down in Houston, by the way, and also competes, you've competed in the past in close-up contests, and the TAM. You've been a member of the TAM for 15 years or so? Or
I don't know.
A long time.
A long time.
But I wanted to talk with you just, first of all, about being a contestant. And, you know, you have competed in the past and, you know, maybe encouraging others to compete and why you compete.
Oh, yeah, because for years I didn't. You know, I didn't compete at all. And I just decided, you know, because being in a contest is a different beast. It's not like working in the real world. It's not like even having a professional career. It's kind of a different kind of animal, different kind of parameters. And you got to. It challenged me to be more creative. You know, with layman, you can get away with some things. But if you're going to perform for magicians in a time frame, you know, and you have a time limit, it's kind of challenging. And I was just looking for something to challenge myself and to, you know, just get creative juices flowing. And it was a great way for me to do that. And then, you know, it helps me out. And I just like, you know,
it also
come
gives
up
you
things.
A deadline. You have to do something by a certain time.
Yeah, you know, and just it forces you inside to create something creative inside of parameters. You have rules. Whether out in the real world, you can do whatever you want. You know, the sky's the limit. You know,
right.
You can take as long as you want. You can have outs. You can, you know, fall back on something if you need to fall back on something. But in contests, if you want it to go a certain way, if you want to build a theme, if you want to, you know, spark some originality to tricks that we've seen 50,000 times, you know, it gives you a challenge to make something old,
right.
Fresh.
Right. And so what is the reason that you compete?
Just for that, just to keep, you know, the juices
keep
flowing.
So you don't care whether you win or not, necessarily?
No, you know, it's all, you know.
It's nice if you do, but.
It's nice if you do, but it just, you know, you learn something about yourself, you grow as a performer, that's all I'm about. I mean, what I take out from the, you know, performing in contests out into the real world, if it helps me become a better performer for when I'm out there, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I think if you perform for magicians, it gives you a little bit better measure of confidence as well, because you think, okay, well, I fool magicians or I perform for magicians, because a lot of times at club meetings the people who are magicians don't want to perform because they kind of feel intimidated performing before their peers. Here, you're before all your peers.
Yeah, you know, and I hear that a lot, and now if you just, you know, now I just kind of go in, it's like, you know what, just treat them like it's a crowd at a hotel you're performing for that's never seen you before. It's just the best way to go about it.
Right.
But the bonus is, after you're done, you get so much feedback. You get so much encouragement, and people come in and say, I love this, I love that. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And that's great. You know, you get to be with your peers and discuss, you know, what you just did. And that's what I like about.
You know, that's another good point there, David, because that you may not be booked and paid to be talent. However, you're treated on a celebrity status, if you will, during the convention the same way as if you had been talent, being paid, because people recognize you as one of the performers, saying, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Particularly if you do something that stands out.
Yeah, you know, it always feels good. Even like you said, even if you don't win, if someone comes up to me and said, man, you were great,
yeah.
I'm like, oh,
feels
that's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have gotten that if you hadn't competed.
Nope.
Yeah, and you always have that chance of winning the contest, you know, then as well.
Yeah, and then you can take it. There's so many other contests out there.
Yeah. Well, and then if you win, that, I mean, would you use this as a launching pad to go to other contests?
I've never competed outside TOM. If I did win, that'd be a new challenge to think of. Yeah, sure. Like, mm-hmm. if I won, you know, maybe I'll try it at this convention, or maybe I'll try it at the big one. You know?
Yeah.
But you never know, you know. So just kind of, you know, I would look for the next challenge. If I won here, and then I'd still want to encourage people to do it, but. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like Michael Dardant. You know, he'd won one contest, won another one. Before long, you know, these started to get booked at other conventions. I mean, not only doing full-time like you do, other professional shows around town, but also, you know, getting to perform for other magicians and getting to travel worldwide and performing wherever.
So, yeah, it's a great life sometimes.
Yeah, you know. Performing for other magicians, there is kind of a career, if you will, in that, you know.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. And it definitely helps you just grow as a performer, and that's what we all are. That's what we all come here to do, you know, to learn new things, get tips.
Right, and with that challenge, it forces you to become more creative and original, rather than just doing something that, I mean, sure, you can come here and compete and do something that you typically do as part of your normal show that might be Invisible Deck, Sponge Bunnies, or whatever, but, you know, you got to step it up whenever you're going to be in a contest.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You got to go for the gusto. You got to go for it.
How do you work on your, or how do you become creative? How do you, you know, get into that mode? I mean, mean, of a competition mode? I mean, in creating an act.
For me, I take an idea that I might not necessarily enjoy. So I'll take an idea like Ambitious or a Four Ace production, and I was like, how could I make this entertaining for myself? Like, if I was going to show my friends, and I really wanted to make it entertaining, how would I make someone go, oh, that was funny, that was funny?
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking for the, you know, for me, as you know, my cup of tea, it might not be others, like, I'm looking for the laugh or the smile.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me. I like making
people
smile.
Everyone has their own kind of personality and performance style.
So that's what I go for. I go for the laugh. And if I can do something, you know, kind of give a fresh take on something, it's like, I like what you did there.
Yeah.
And
then
that makes me feel really good.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be announcing a little bit later as to who the winners are, so... You never know. I've competed several times and years in the past, both stage and, you know, gosh, I used to do a sub-trunk and zigzag and doves and everything, you know, way back when. And plus, close-up, have not won. But, you know, it's interesting that I have actually booked shows from people who have seen me saying, I like you better than the winner, and I want to pay you to perform. So I ended up...
Yeah, you know, I've been lucky enough to get some really nice compliments. That's always what it's all about. I mean, it's okay, well, I feel pretty good.
Well, speaking of this convention, how have you enjoyed this? What have you gotten out of this?
You know, I really like the city of Fort Worth. That's a bonus, you know, and...
It's really a cultural city. There's so many museums and things. I mean, as we're driving around, it's great.
And everything's really in walking distance. So, to shop, if you want to do a little shopping, and just to kind of mingle. And, you know, I get to see a lot of friends, Penguin Magic, Sean, and Brent Braun's here. So really good friends of mine that I get to hang out with and see Magic Smith. And I always love when we get... Sans Magic. Is that the name of the company?
Sale. Yeah, SEO.
Oh, my God. Because they always have something crazy that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, I always hope he's here when I walk in the door. So.
Well, this was an interesting dealer's room also, because we didn't have but, what, maybe 12 dealers? It's very few.
It was very interesting. I didn't know, you know, I don't know. It just seemed kind of, because I'm used to them being pretty packed.
Yeah,
the
they've
room.
Had as many as 40, 50 dealers, and they're maybe a dozen. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it definitely was interesting, but I don't know. We'll see what
Did you end up buying anything new here at GFI?
I do have some things that I'm going to pick up, but I'm one of those guys that waits to the last day. Like,
you better hurry, because they're going to be closing soon.
You know, I was like, do I really need this? And will I use it? Because now, you know, probably me and you are probably the same way. I'm probably the point like, I really have to use this.
Yeah, I am. I'm to that point.
It's like, if I'm not going to use it, it's just going to collect dust.
Right. It's an investment. It's not just a purchase.
Right.
Can I get my money back on this? Will I get something out of this?
Yeah.
So you talk about tricks or books? What do you think?
Tricks if I buy a trick. But I love books. Like, so. And there was this book that it took me 10 years to find that John Gaggett had. And I want to buy it, but it might be out of my league. But I've been looking for this book for probably 10-plus years.
What is it?
The Magic of E.G. Brown.
E.G. Brown. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, man. I've been just like, you know, you always look for that Holy Grail book. And that's one of them. I was like, I got to find this book. I've heard so much good things about this book. And I asked him, you know, I've asked him at MagicCon. I've asked him at past TOMs.
Yeah.
I've asked him every time I've seen him. And I asked him again. He goes, I got it.
So he's been on the lookout for you.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Cool.
And I was like, oh, my goodness. So I got to. Yeah. You know, I have to decide quick if I'm going to buy that one.
What about the lecture stage shows? What else have you seen?
Kevin James is great.
He's doing a 45-minute show closing tonight.
I know. I'm really excited about that. His lecture was great. I got to see Sonny
Fontana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. All great stuff. So I'm really excited. I was really... And Midnight Madness was a lot of fun last night, too.
Now, I missed that. Tell me about that, because I didn't get to cover that at all.
Diamond Jim was out there. Local guys out there performing, you know, just doing crazy stuff that they probably do for real people, but just to have a lot of fun.
Now, this was a thing that used to be the Roger Klaus Midnight Madness, for those who may not know. And what Roger used to do as the host around midnight, 11:30, would say... Before the thing began, he would kind of tap me on the shoulder and say, Scott, I want you to do a trick, you know. And so that was kind of the same... format, I guess.
Yeah.
Who emceed this?
I don't know. I can't remember who the MC was, because it was like a lot of different people.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a Roger Klaus story. So Fort Worth was the first time I met Roger Klaus years ago when I was a kid. And he was outside. And he comes in the lobby, and I'm sitting down. And he goes, hey, you kid, come here. And I'm like, okay. So I walk outside, and he goes, stand right here.
Yeah.
And I stood right there, and he stood behind me. And I'm like, I don't know what he's doing. He goes, and I was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if he's going to show me a trick or what. He leans over and goes, the wind's blowing at me. I need you to block it. And he just stood there.
To light a cigarette or something?
Yeah, and I just stood there like, okay, well, I'll just stay here for about 5 minutes. And he goes, all right, you can go. And that was my first meeting with Roger Klaus.
That's kind of the way, you know, I remember one time it was like 3 or 4 in the morning. We were in a hotel lobby or something, and he asked someone to go get something over on the other side of the room. And after this guy went after, another guy was walking up, and he said, would you go over and do something? And then, follow, go over and get this from this guy. And as he was walking away, he said, there goes number 2 after number 1.
But IFA has been a very good convention. They've had a really good talent. You know, this is one that has not really been advertised heavily, and yet those people, those few of us who have come to the convention, I say few, it's fewer than most larger conventions that have shown up. Certainly we've had, if not a great turnout, we certainly have a great convention. I think they had a lot of really good talent, you know, some, I should say, unexpectedly good talent that I think some people came with lower expectations, but have really found that they've gotten a lot of value out of this. You know, Max Howard was great.
Yeah.
You know, his performance and his lecture, as you said, Kevin James and Steve Bedwell, and we just had Master Payne talk, and we've had Steve Chandler, I think, spoke earlier this afternoon, show last evening and then tonight, so just some really good stuff that we've had. So before we leave, I just wanted also to mention, because people, you know, listen to my podcast and yours, and I wanted you to promote yours as well, because other people know about 816. Tell me about your podcast.
The 816, which is, there's a reason for that, but it's kind of a secret, but... And if okay. you guys can, but you, it's magic related, so you guys could probably figure it out while we call it 816. But it's me and Alex Rangel. We just talk about just normal stuff going on. Alex, you know, works and behind the scenes for many of the top, you know, magicians out there. And I sometimes get to tag along and go to neat places. And we just tell the kind of road stories and what our friends are up to and what's going on in the world of magic.
So other people who want to get a different perspective of magic, they should go to where? To find your podcast?
Oh, so just follow us. The easiest thing to do is probably follow us on Twitter. We post links. We have a Tumblr site. We used to be on iTunes, but we kind of gravitated away to that, just have more freedom to do more things.
Okay.
Now we're on Speaker, speaker.com. But we always post links on our Tumblr site or Twitter.
Okay, and they can follow you. What is the Twitter?
At 816 Podcast.
Makes it easy enough. I like that then, too. Great. And let me ask you, since my podcast is called The Magic Word, what is your magic word? Or what is your philosophy? It could be a sentence, a phrase, a word, or something that's important to you.
That's a good question. Make them laugh.
You know, I like that. Make them laugh.
Yeah. That's it for
good.
Me.
Good. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
That was thedavidrangel.com for the magic word. Scotty out. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just completed the award ceremony. We're here on Sunday night, and it's before the evening show, but we just had the ceremony for the contest and awards, and I've got the contest and award chairman with me and past president of the IBM, Bob Emery. Bob, when were you the... hello. Sorry.
Past president of TOM.
What did I say?
IBM.
I am, yes, of the local ring, but then also that of the
I've been actually president of several local rings.
Because you live in California, then.
And live in several cities in Texas, yes.
Were you involved with the SAM as well, or just the IBM mainly?
IBM, I was also a judge for the SAM one time.
Yeah.
And I also helped the International Brotherhood of Magicians promote one of their conventions,
mm-hmm.
and among other things that I did for them, I also performed on at the IBM.
And your background really is in advertising and public relations and that
Correct.
Kind of a thing, so
yes.
you really have a good eye for kind of what sells and what's marketable.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah, plus I'm dealing with talent all the time of various mm-hmm. sorts. Plus, you know, not only creative people in advertising, but also directing people for TV commercials, videos, and radio.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to people who are wanting to compete? Young and old alike, whether they're just getting into the competition for the first time or if they're wanting to refine their act? Or
well, it's possibly more than refining an act, because mm-hmm. a lot of time people, they don't really have what you might consider a true act.
Mm-hmm.
They have magic,
a series of tricks.
A series of tricks.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct, yeah. But so they need to sit down and figure out, okay, who do they really want to, you know, be their audience?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of people are they? What age group are you going to particularly go to? Is it, you know, going to be adults, you know, people in their 20s, young kids, or whatever? I mean, you need to find out where you think your strengths will lie in entertaining people.
But working in competition act, you're not performing for necessarily one of those kinds of
No,
groups.
But magicians can also understand where you're coming from.
I see.
Yeah. In other words, if it's strictly a kid's thing, and you're just dynamite at it and just get such a fantastic response from the kids and get the audience laughing and going with it, well, then that works.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole thing has to be thought out from beginning to end. From how are you going to approach it, you know, what kind of character are you going to be,
mm-hmm.
And then in turn from there you figure out what kind of dress you're going to have,
right?
So everything has to fit together, and if you're going to have music, well, that music has to be appropriate as well, and not just appropriate, but it has to be timed explicitly to what you're doing,
right? Mm-hmm.
And you've been working with as a contest chairman for this your second, third year? How many years have you been doing this at GAOM?
Three now, I guess.
Three now,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was going to say Trixie had done this before, I think, and then you kind of took over then from there. So.
Yeah.
Now, when people want to compete, do you think that it's a is it a requirement with the GAOM to send in a video, or does anybody just show up, or how do they?
Well, there's various ways. One is a video would definitely help because we're trying to pre-qualify some of the contestants because we want to make sure our standards are high.
And because sometimes awards, like tonight, some awards are not given.
Correct. Yeah, some awards aren't given. From the time they enter to the time they actually compete, well, they could actually improve during those few months. I mean,
and send it in again.
It is possible. Well, what I mean is if they are accepted, but yet we're not sure if they would be a winner at that point, well, they still got, you know, like 30, 45 days to actually hone things in, refine stuff, so that actually they may just turn the whole thing around.
Yeah.
But we definitely want to, you know, we'd like to see videos. The other fact it would be getting a couple of local members to verify that this person is ready to enter a competition.
Because they would have already competed? Or
well, because they've already seen them locally. They know their quality,
So we can kind of get some testimonials of local guys.
Yeah, testimonials, right.
Okay. Yeah. And so you would encourage young people, in particular, anybody in particular, I guess,
anybody, because
it improves your magic so much.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people, you know, they started when they were young. They kind of stopped a while to get their careers going.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they say, you know what, I've got the time now.
Yeah.
And they've been thinking about it. They've been going to conventions. They've been listening to lectures. They've been observing more magic and seeing what works and what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, they all of a sudden have a greater understanding, of kind of a looking down from above on the whole situation. Go, ah, this is what I need to be doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And also you make some bonds, some relationships with some of the contestants that last for a lifetime.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, many years that some of the contestants, they hadn't seen each other before. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're competing. And next thing you know, you find them in a corner being together the whole convention.
Right. It's like when you've been war buddies in a foxhole or whatever.
Right, you know, right.
Back when. Yeah. Well, kind of moving from that onto the convention then in general, that you were the TAOM president in what year?
77, 78.
Okay, and that was, was that Dallas?
That was in Austin.
In Austin. And so you've seen a lot of conventions. And how has this been going? What have you gotten out of this convention here in Fort Worth this year?
Well, we've had some really good acts, particularly Dana Daniels.
Yeah.
Was just fantastic, and his lecture was incredible, too.
Yeah.
And then we also had another incredible lecture by Dr. Bedwell. Mm-hmm. Great close-up performance from him. So we've had some really good folks here. And if anything, if you didn't find exactly what you wanted, well, you found all sorts of wonderful, magical friends.
True. Well, you can say that same, I guess, every year for the TAOM because, you know,
absolutely.
There are new people who are coming.
Absolutely, because,
year
I mean,
after year.
Even if one particular year was not your cup of tea, well, you're just still going to find value in the whole thing. And you're going to find people showing you stuff, you know, that isn't part of the convention.
Right.
And you're going to be showing them stuff.
Right.
And you're going to still be learning regardless.
Exactly. Well, let me, as we conclude this, that the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast. So what is your magic word or phrase or sentence? What's important to you? In other words, what do you live by? A slogan, something that makes you want to get up in the morning, something that you...
Oh, man, I don't know.
Your very core, your being,
I've never thought of a slogan before, except when as soon as I wake up...
Here's an advertising guy, and you haven't thought of your own slogan.
No. I mean, because... It's just an attitude, because every time, as soon as I wake up, I am up, and I'm already running.
Yeah.
I'm running to get ready to do something great for that day.
Yeah.
And whether it be, you know, the marketing, advertising, trying to turn a company around, or coming up with new ideas for magic, come up with new ideas for the Texas Association of Magicians.
Mm-hmm. Like the new logo, tagline we've got, which is a world
of magic in Texas.
Yeah, and great.
Developing the brand platform for it, among other things. And you know, you just live for these days to be able to accomplish things and be able to help other people.
Yeah. So kind of a tagline would be helping other people. Living to help
I
other people.
I do that, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you very much.
All right.
That's great. It was Bob Emery for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and the evening show has not yet begun, but I thought as things kind of start to wind down a little bit, and we would talk again with the president, now the past president, Bill Irwin. Hey there, Bill.
Hello, Scott.
So you have passed the gauntlet or the ribbon.
That's
to
right.
Trixie Bond, so she'll be the president next year. And so how'd it go?
Oh, I think it's gone well.
We've still got a great show tonight.
We've got a wonderful show to finish this off and lecture tomorrow. And
yep.
So we still got a couple events going, but the convention, I'm hoping everybody's enjoyed it. That was our goal.
Yeah.
And bringing something new to people, that somebody that knew that they haven't seen, something new that they haven't seen, and I think we did it. And that's because we have a very original crew, and they came up with some great ideas.
Now, I'm sure they're all highlights to you, but is there something that just kind of sticks out as, like, top of your mind?
Well, the neat thing is seeing people that I hadn't seen. I hadn't seen Master Payne.
Yeah.
Dana Daniels, it's been a long time since I've seen, and they just brought the house down for comedy and enjoyment. Dave Chandler, just starting out his career and just moving up the ladder and working on it, and having known him for years and bringing him here for the first convention and his first convention. And so I'm just blessed to have had these people in mind. Rick Honey for the gospel thing the gospel presentation that he did this morning was a ray of a change that we haven't had for a long time.
Yeah. Plus, he was doing some street magic out and everything.
Yeah, and we had some guys working out. We had six performers out there on the street during the ESPN event with Sundance Square. So thank you for reminding me of that.
And they had a lot of public tickets that were sold last evening for the great show last night. A really wonderful show.
Oh,
very
gosh.
A great variety, certainly. You know, we had puppetry and marionettes, and had comedy with Dana Daniels and Master Payne, and illusions with what's his name?
Susan oh my gosh, you got me going. It's Carnival of Illusion out of Arizona, and Susan Ide and Mr. Sarlot.
Right.
Roland, yes. Thank you.
Just came to mind.
It's tiredness. Roland, yeah, Sarlot, they are wonderful. I have six hours in the last 3.5 days, so I'm doing good just to be talking.
I'm surprised you're still on your hind legs. You're standing right.
Roland and Susan are an example of I met them 5 years ago, and I knew that I was going to be doing something with them, and they were just starting out. Their stuff at that time, and I knew I'd be doing something with them just because of their personalities, and that's what I think made this a great convention.
Yeah.
I really looked at personalities of the performers, regardless of their reputation, and those that
or lack of people who are not as well
exactly
known
it.
in the community. I mean, there's some people like, let's say, Dana Daniels, who are well known, but others who are not. So even though that there may not have been quote big names, I think that people are going away talking about these names. I just was on the elevator with a guy who said, you know, that Dave Chandler's lecture was one of the most outstanding lectures of the convention.
It is. He wrote a book. It's got 68 photos in it.
Yeah.
The guy is meticulous, and so I think those that missed the lecture really missed something, because they didn't know who he was.
Yeah. But
the
others, we haven't seen Steve Bedwell for a while. It was a great lecture.
Steve Bedwell hasn't been out doing conventions for a long time.
Right.
And so he came out and did that for us, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
And he had some wonderful routine.
Right. And seeing Max Howard, you know, that's great. And
Max Howard, that was
something great.
Oh, gosh, that first night, two standing ovations the first night. And then we had variations of two standing ovations last night.
Yeah.
That's up to four. That's not bad. So I'm looking forward.
Kevin's going to do like a 45-minute show tonight.
He's going to do half the whole half the entire program tonight.
Yeah,
and
great.
Oh, it's going to be powerful. And for your listeners, Kevin's stepson won the TAOM Junior Championship 20 some odd years ago.
Really? Okay.
And there's going to be a surprise probably for the attendees tonight on the show.
Okay.
So that something that Kevin's never done, and he didn't even know that until we started talking, and he got married 5 years ago, and his wife let him know about this, and that they were coming back to the TAOM,
surprise,
and that was also in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
So We've had some neat surprises. And
speaking of surprises, the very first night we were talking, you wouldn't share the surprise or spoil it, but that was going to be apparently the Color Monty that was given out to everyone with Arthur Emerson's picture on it.
Oh, yes, the Color Monty that's been customized with Arthur Emerson's, and the climax is you owe Arthur $14, the best-selling card trick ever in the world.
Had half a million of those sold.
And now we've got a new version on the market in a very limited edition.
Are those going to be available, by the way, and if so, where can they get them?
Well, they can only get them in our dealer's room tonight.
Okay.
Our goal is to try to get as many gone as possible, but make them available. There will be some available, most likely through Derek and Magic, etc.
So Derek Kennedy at Magic ETC,
yes.
Yeah, Magic, etc. Right.
So you have a chance to probably get one of these copies because it will be limited.
Yeah, collector's item, very good. Well, congratulations on
Thank
a convention
you.
Well run and a lot of surprises and a lot of fun. And I haven't heard any negative comments at all about the whole convention
They've
from start
blessing.
To finish.
Everybody's been blessing and flexible, and that's what makes it work.
Great. Good job to you and your team. I know it's not a one person. Being past
yes,
president myself, I know it's all the people behind you that make you look good.
They are. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, all those guys. Thank you again very much. That was Bill Irwin, past president of the TAOM for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out.
For more content, including pictures of those I spoke with in this podcast, commentary, links, timestamps, show notes, and more, be sure to visit the webpage at themagicwordpodcast.com. And you can help spread the word by liking the Magic Word Podcast on Facebook and sharing with your friends. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening. Till next time, Scotty out.